on the telephone. You can let my producer know and we'll get back to you. Tony, g'day.
G'day, Mike. How are you?
Well, congratulations.
Thanks so much. It's been a pretty tumultuous day on top of a pretty trying but ultimately invigorating week.
Some months ago, you said that the opposition should wave through the ETS and go on and fight another battle. What's changed?
Well, the politics have changed, and I think people are now very concerned about Labor's great big new carbon tax forever. But I've always been deeply sceptical about an emissions trading scheme. Mm. I've always thought that it was basically an energy taxation scheme. And I guess what's changed is that we now have a people power revolt right around the country, and it's important that the Liberal Party, as the custodian of the views of the little people, the forgotten people, is out there representing them.
Now, a couple of months ago, you were prepared to put politics before your principle. Was that an error?
Look, obviously the situation has changed, and if people want to say it was a mistake, I'm happy to say it was a mistake.
Do you think it was, Tony?
Well, I think that was then, this is now. I have always said that an ETS was deeply flawed, and I've always thought that climate change is real, but how much of it is caused by human beings and what should be done about it needs to be thoroughly debated. And the problem is that up until now, we've been marching towards this great big new tax, this revolution in the way we live, in a fit of environmental rectitude. Now, I defer to no one when it comes to wanting to protect the environment. Yep. But we've got to be sensible about it.
Are you across the emerging story, which is much bigger in the United States and much bigger in the UK and Europe than it is here, and that is the exposure of the East Anglia University and its correspondence with the Hadley Centre and the IPCC hacked emails that point to a lot of fraud, a hell of a lot of fraud?
Look, there are many people who would have pored over those emails much more than I have. I've certainly seen the news reports, and I've read some of the emails in Cut and Paste and The Australian and things like that.
Yep.
I think that these days there is a lot of advocacy research, and there's nothing wrong with advocacy and there's nothing wrong with research, but in the end, you've got to be fair dinkum, and I do think people are entitled to feel a bit conned by some of the stuff we've been told by climate change alarmists.
Yeah, Tony, Mr. Rudd and Penny Wong, and certainly with Penny Wong I've spoken four times on the air about this, tell us relentlessly that the science is settled and that it's akin to heresy to question the science. Now, you're a bright man. I've read your book, Battle Lines. Clearly you're a deep thinker and you think about things. Have you acquainted yourself with the science on this matter?
I don't claim to have immersed.
But you don't need to be a scientist, though, Tony, do you?
Yeah.
To look at the academic work on it, you can make your own view.
You can, Michael. And again, I don't claim to have immersed myself as deeply in this as everyone. This has not been a special study of mine, right. Although as the debate intensifies, obviously, I'm going to read more as everyone else is. But I am naturally reluctant to jump on board bandwagons, and I think that anything that involves a $120 billion worth of new tax ought to be subject to scrutiny. It ought to be subject to scrutiny. Now, this isn't about climate change. This is about the right way to deal with it.
Tony, are you going to take the fight up to Mr. Rudd?
Absolutely. That's what the opposition should do. I mean, I think one of the reasons why people were very disappointed was that they saw this massive change going through on a nod and a wink rather than being subjected to the proper scrutiny that is opposition's job. And I tell you, this government is not going to get anything through with our support unless we are absolutely convinced, beyond a reasonable doubt, that it's good for the country. And there's no way that this great big new tax, as it stands, is good for our country.
Your predecessor of this morning, Mr. Turnbull, said that your party would be annihilated in an election that was fought on the issue of climate change. Now, the Labor Party has got an ad campaign already in the can with the statements that he has made disparaging other members of the party, you included, and disparaging the views that you hold on climate change. How are you going to win an election on that issue?
Just by arguing and arguing and arguing. I mean, don't forget how Paul Keating won an election back in 1993, that no one expected him to win, simply saying If you don't understand it, don't vote for it. And if you do understand it, you would never vote for it.
Hallelujah. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have had so many discussions with people on your side of politics who say, no, I don't believe it, but we could never convince the nation about it. And we've left it too late and there's not enough time, and so we just have to go with the flow. Are you telling me you're going to take the fight up? You're going to be out there campaigning on this?
Absolutely. It won't be the only issue in the election. There'll be interest rates. There'll be Labor's great leap forward to the 1970s in workplace relations. There'll be all sorts of other things. But look, we will give them a fight on this issue.
Do you have the support of your party to do that?
Yes. Look, when the leader changes, the party, generally speaking, falls into line. And there are inevitably a few bruises. It would be impossible not to have a few bruises after what's happened over the last few weeks. But the Liberal Party is a group of loyal people who understand that we've got to take the fight to the government and make the government's new tax the issue. This isn't about the environment. It's about a big new tax on people.
Tony Abbott, if you could write the report in the media the day you leave, your role as leading the Liberal Party, what are they going to say you did?
I hope they will say that I have always been prepared to take on the issues that are important, and that I've stood up for things, and that I've fought the good fight.
Your religion going to influence the way that you lead the party?
The short answer is it won't dictate my positions, because I'm a politician in a secular society, no one should ever, in a country like Australia, take a political position because he or she thinks it's commanded by religion. It's got to be commanded by common sense.
Righto, Tony, I have to pose this question because I've received more emails on it than any other single one. You featured prominently in the media here in this country and in this state on the beach in your budgie smugglers. Will you promise me you'll buy a pair of board shorts?
Look, I've got several pairs of board shorts, but when you're participating in the Queenscliff Surf Lifesaving Club Sunday Club Swim, I'm afraid that's the club uniform. Just keep the cameras away in future, okay?
Yeah, it's a good look. Righto, all the best and congratulations on your win today.
Thanks, Michael.
Tony Abbott, who's the new leader of the opposition. What do you make of that? Of what you have heard, what do you think? Is he the right man? I tell you what, he's an Oxford Blue in boxing. He's a pugilist of note, a Rhodes Scholar. He trained as a priest, as a Catholic priest. My aunt taught him. My aunt Elizabeth taught him at St. Aloysius in Sydney. She still calls him Anthony Abbott. I don't think you can